Democrat, a Republican, or one I love, or it doesn't matter if he does something I think is... And usually I think I'm speaking up many of you. I know how many of you speak and how you feel about politics. I must say this is my first real criticism of Obama since his inaugural oath. And I say that because I think he is massively screwing up this bill by trying to do the nonpartisan thing. He thinks he's going to get the Republicans to go along this or anything else he is dreaming. I shall be surprised if he gets 5 Republicans to go along with him. It ain't going to happen. The Republicans have already got him to cut out parts of his plan and to get them to go along while they have no intention whatsoever of being bipartisan on this or on any other issue. Just isn't going to happen. It's pure folly to think they'll ever play ball with Obama and the Democrats. Their sole mission is to make him look bad, and I think they did got a little bit of it done already. Why would you listen to the Republicans right now? Why would you listen to them at all? Tax cuts during a wartime, an abject failure. A failure. And they're hanging that over Obama's head right now. Like, oh, we got to get these tax cuts in here. Screw them. They don't have the votes. Obama does. Why listen to these losers, proven losers, on here just for a minute? Well, we're expecting. I'm going to clear the phones. Sorry, I'm waiting on here just. We're expecting. I'm going to clear the phones. Sorry, I'm waiting for a special call. I mean, for that, I'm clearing the phones right now. I'd like to... Why on earth would anybody listen to the Republicans? You feel you had to. I don't get it. I said this when Barack Obama was running for... He mentioned then that he would... It's not going to happen. Unless there's some miracle, it's just not going to happen. And personally, from looking at the stimulus program already, and we hope to have the congressman on here pretty soon, unless they're involved in a hell of a debate or a vote, I think it's already short on some things that it needs. And I just don't think we ought to indulge them. I don't know any reason to indulge them. They have... I just think it's a fantasy for President Obama. Despite all the evidence to the contrary over the last several years, it's a fantasy of his that he thinks he can negotiate with the current Republican leadership in good faith. Never happen. It'll never happen. If he thinks Boehner and Mitch McConnell work to him, it will not work. He went up the Hill for the meeting with the House Republicans to get their input on the stimulus bill. Well, I don't know why he went first place and to try and talk them into supporting it. So yesterday morning they had the House leadership have it right then and there, Matt Boehner and his number two whip can't decide right then and there. They told the rank and file members Tuesday's door meeting, told them to oppose the bill when it comes to the floor on Wednesday, Republicans. And meanwhile they're out in public that they're bargaining in good faith with President Obama. They're not bargaining in good faith. Does anybody believe that? They told the Republicans that they assembled in the meeting for them to support the measure. And they're going to... We shall see how much power Boehner and Cantor have. But they've just to oppose this stimulus bill no matter what. And when you stop and think about it, politically, if they can pull it off, it's the right thing for them to do. Ethically, morally, proves to me they're a bunch of political thugs. Kind of political thugs for a long time now. If Obama's stimulus plan ends up being a success, if it's judged a success when this is all over and done with, the Republicans' political gain from adding some more votes to it, so what? So they're figuring and they're hoping that it'll fail. And failure is what will help them politically. And they figure that Obama will be left holding the bag, and their ticket to back into power in 2010 is opposing this thing and hoping that it fails and helping it fail. Simple, huh? They've got no ethics, and it's clear they want this to fail for their own gain, so they'll hammer the bill as much as they possibly can. And they'll push for more Republican-style tax cuts. And they'll push for those tax cuts, and I hope to God Obama and them don't give in on them. Because if they do, it'll be a branch we desperately need. And I'm not saying there aren't some things in that we don't. From what I've read so far, it's inevitable, absolutely inevitable, that there's going to be some pork in. My humble opinion, there is some pork in it. So, I think Republican senators should go along with him. But really, the Republicans have already decided that that good old-fashioned obstructionism that they've been now works for them. And what works for them most of all, as they crank up their right-wing radio propaganda machine, the likes of a Mr. Limbaugh. One moment, please. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello? Oops, we got disconnected. That was our call from Washington. I hope they call right back. Don't know what happened to that. We'll take that call live when it comes in again. Hopefully, I'm in again. Yeah.
All of the across the board. There are people, a dramatic effect on my business. Bitch, I really would sue them.
There actually be lawsuits after this is over.
Well, you know what? I'm going to join in the lawsuits. I'm so angry, I can't even believe the stupidity that's involved here. There's anything that's ever happened to these companies acting, and they're not fighting. And the old-time fighters are gone. But no, that doesn't go across the board. There are people out there quietly doing a lot of stuff, a lot of things, and they're all afraid. They're afraid of the trial lawyers. The truth is that there are ways to give money through C4s and C6s to educate the public to this. If the public knew about it, by the way, the statistics are that almost 80% of the public doesn't like this law.
That is a flat-out lie. That is a flat-out monstrous distortion of the truth. In the latest poll that they've done on this survey, 79% of Americans, 79%, the 180 from what Bernie Marcus, founder of Home Depot, just said, 79% said Americans deserve a chance at the free choice, labor free choice. 79%. So put that, Marcus, I will never, and I will call them, local store, and let them know that I would never, another Home Depot, trying to deny the right to organize, and our favorite people, Walmart, has been doing that intimidation and threats. They've, America's largest employer, I believe they still are America's largest. But we have Home Depot. Haven't read about it in any other areas of the country. I'm sure it's happened in another country. Johnny O just brought it up on the chat room, but it is true. They were China that has chemical, I believe, sulfur in it. And it messes up your home air conditioning. And people build all kinds of brand new homes, and the chemicals inside this Chinese drywall from Home Depot corrodes the air conditioning system and ruins it, and it also is a health hazard in a brand new home because they had to import drywall, for God's sake, from China. I'm really tired of this. Just today, and if I sound like I'm particularly angry about it, I am. I lived in a small community in Ohio for many, many years, and just today I got news, supermarket, NIGA, locally owned, and as you know, the Independent Grocers Association is a dying power, but they're independently owned, the IGAs, so not many of them left, I don't. But they got together years ago to have some buying power so that they could sell grocery price. Going to close the local IGA and lay off 40 people in a small community. At 40 people without jobs and losing a grocery store. You know why? You know why they're closing? Guess who? Community just a few years ago. Guess who? You got it. World. They will be the destruction of America. And when they have ousted every, they've shoved all the ma and pa businesses and even small and intermediate sized businesses out of their way and no longer have any competition, we'll see how interested they are in bringing you. When there's no place else to shop, that's what they're after. Make no mistake. That is exactly what they're after. Stores to walk into. For the particular items that they sell. Then you will see the end of Walmart's. Right you are, bedtime for Bonzo. And Americans couldn't wait to flock and get those low, low prices. Think what that's cost you. Low prices from China and Wally World has cost you. Just think what it's done to the local economies. They come into a town. Here's how it usually works. They come into a small town. They want to be on the outskirts of town someplace. Usually in an area that's not even incorporated. Then they get that incorporated, and they want the city to run lines out to them. Free, of course. And then they want tax abatements for like 20 years. And they come in to the city council and provide a couple of hundred jobs, good jobs for the community. Oh, they supply a couple of hundred jobs of them part-time, almost all of them low-paying to the point on one. And then they threaten you. They make you work off the clock. A little extra, they extract every pound of flesh they can from you. And then your beautiful little downs are going to Bentonville, Arkansas, not to your local community. Evolved in this. The profits go to Bentonville. The stores are really run from Bentonville. They have no other than a few cheap-ass prices for junk for the local community. And one by one, they clean out the downtown. I've seen it over and over and over again. I was involved over and over again. They clean out one store at a time. Little mom and pop stores that have been in a community for decades, run by the family for years and years and years, known well. But he says, don't worry, George, we'll come and still go to your hardware store. Hey, Frank, we'll still come to your little grocery store. They'll still come to your little pharmacy store downtown. We love you, your people. And slowly, but the new newspaper ads show up, the flyers show up, Wally World offers people something for nothing, some shit from China, that store. And through the wonderful marketing, Wally World shuts down the local pharmacy, shuts down the local hardware store, shuts eventually nothing but offices in the downtown or empty buildings, and there might as well be sagebrush blowing through the town. Why did I get started on this today? I promised myself that I was going to stay calm and collected today. Sending that notice about that today. Texas Betsy set that in, and I put my antenna up and did a little research on the. I hope you will join me in that effort, what little we can do. It's not just in the little community I'm from. It's happening all over America. You've seen the lawsuits. You've seen where Walmart wants to build a store on historical sites and all that. It's not good for America. Anyway, I wanted to start the show off. I didn't really mean to start the show off to that today, talking about the employee come to a head probably in June or July, right along in there. I don't know why they're waiting so long. I guess they have so many things on the agenda. But I wanted you to hear that little bit, the charismatic co-founder of Home Depot. The other voice in that was Rick Berman. He's a opponent of the choice. He's a center founder of the. You like to read all of his union facts. Unions. Those dastardly unions who fought for, in many cases, died for decent wages for Americans, decent hours for Americans to work, child labor laws, those terrible unions that fought for those things and won them, those terrible unions that helped build the middle class in this country, those terrible unions that afforded so many people the luxury of finally buying their own home, owning their own automobile, and living the great American dream. Again, I apologize for getting all bent out of shape over that today, but I think it's something worth getting bent out of shape over. I know the economy is bad, and I know many communities are suffering. I love the small community. There's something special about across the Midwest and other places. Wonderful places to live, wonderful places to be. You establish some real values, and you don't in the big cities as well. But there's about little rural America and their small towns. And I'm happy that I was brought up in proximity to those little communities. So, 866-546-5254, we are going to talk to Representative Steve Cohen from Tennessee. We'll probably end up just taking his call live right on the air. That's the way we do it here. We're not afforded the luxury of hiring a producer in a control room and all that, although we have a studio that's just as modern and well-equipped as many of those you might see. But Oh, Nanette says it's pouring down snow again. I know a lot of you got a lot of snow last night across the upper Midwest, and I hope you like snow. I do want to mention, and I'll say it, and as you know, I am not averse to passing out criticism of any politician, be he a Democrat, a Republican, or I love or despise. It doesn't matter. If he does something I think is the way I like it, I'll speak up. And usually I'm speaking up on behalf of many of you. I know how many of you speak in Hunzin. And I must say this is my real criticism of President Obama since his inaugural oath. I think he is massively screwing up the stimulus bill by trying. If he thinks he's going to get the Republicans to go along with him on this or anything else, he is dreaming. I shall be some Republicans to go along with him. It ain't going to happen. The Republicans have already got him to cut out parts of his plan and to get them to go along while they have no intention whatsoever of being bipartisan on this or on any other issue. Just isn't going to happen. It's pure folly to think they'll ever play ball with Obama and the Democrats. And their sole mission is to make him look bad, and I think they got a little bit of it done already. Why would you listen to the Republicans right now? Why would you listen to them at all? Tax cuts. You're an abject failure. A failure. And they're hanging that over Obama's head right now. Like, oh, we got to get these tax cuts in here. Screw them. They don't have the votes. Obama doesn't need their votes. Why would you listen to these losers? Losers. I'm going to head on over to the phone here just for a minute. Well, we're expecting. I'm going to clear the phones. Sorry, I'm waiting for a special call. So forgive me for that. I'm clearing the phones right now. I'd like to know, why on earth would anybody, why would you feel you had to? I don't get. I said this when Brock, you know I did, that they would like to compromise with these people. It's not going to happen. Unless there's some miracle, it's just not going to happen. And personally, from looking at the stimulus program already, and we hope to have the congressman on here pretty soon, unless they're involved in a hell of a debate or a vote, I think it's already short on some things that it needs. And I just don't think we ought to indulge them. They have. I just think it's a fantasy for President Obama, despite all the evidence through the last several years. It's a fantasy of his that he thinks he can negotiate with the current Republican leadership in good faith. Never happen. It'll never happen. If he thinks Boehner and Mitch McConnell will talk to him, simply not going to work. It will not work. The meeting with the House Republicans to get their input on the stimulus bill. Well, I don't know why he wanted to listen to them in the first place and to try and talk them into So yesterday morning, leadership having a meeting, and they decided right then and there, Matt Boehner, they told members Tuesday morning during a closed-door meeting, told them to oppose the bill, went that straight from the Republicans. And meanwhile, they're out in public pretending that they're bargaining in good faith. President Obama. They're not bargaining in good faith. Does anybody believe that? They told the Republicans that they assembled in the meeting that there wasn't any reason for them to support the measure. And they're going to urge, and we shall see. We shall see how much power Boehner and Cantor have. But they've decided that it's in their political interest to oppose the stimulus bill no matter what. And when you stop and think about it, politically, if they can pull it off, it's the right thing for them to do. Ethically, morally, proves to me they're a bunch of political thugs. Kind of political thugs we've been talking about for a long time now. But if Obama's stimulus plan ends up being a success, it's judged a success when this is all over and done with. Republicans' political gain from adding some more votes to it, so what? So they're figuring and they're hoping that it'll fail. And failure is what will help them politically. I figure that Obama will be left holding the bag, and their ticket to back in 2010 is opposing this thing and hoping that it fails and helping it fail. They've got no ethics, and it's clear they want this to fail for their own gain, so they'll hammer the bill as much as they possibly can. They'll push for more Republican-style tax cuts. And they'll push for those tax cuts, and I hope to God Obama and them don't give in on them. Because if they do, it'll be at the expense of some other programs we desperately need. And I'm not saying there aren't some things in that we don't need, because from what I've read so far, it's inevitable, absolutely inevitable, that there's going to be some pork in it. And in my humble opinion, there is some pork in it. So, I think Obama might get a couple of Republican senators to go along with him, but really the Republicans have already decided that good old-fashioned using for quite a while now works for them. Most of all, they crank up their right-wing radio propagandas of a Mr. Limbaugh. Moment, please. James Show. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello? Oops, we got disconnected. That was our call from Washington. I hope they call right back. Don't know what happened to that. We'll take that call live when it comes in again. Hopefully it will come in again. Yeah, if you're listening right now, don't call at the moment. We're going to wait and take this call. I'm sure this is the congressman calling. Obviously, someone's calling in that's not listening. I've got a couple of other calls coming in. I can't take your calls. Do not call at the moment until we'll tie up the lines and we won't be able to get our guest on. All right, I think the lines and we won't be able to get our guest on. All right, I think here we go. Nothing like live radio, huh? Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. Well, I don't know what's happening here. Hello? Hello? Ah. Let's try this ourselves. Don't know what's happening here. We can't get Hey, we'll go to a quick break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today, echoing the Republican leadership office, members of the media, including the San Francisco Chronicle, are falsely claiming that over $4 billion of the economic stimulus plan is going to the liberal activist group, Acorn. Here's Rush Limbaugh.
Do you know that in the Obama stimulus package, $4.1 billion is going to Acorn, Obama's community organization?
In actuality, a provision of the stimulus package would appoint $1.9 billion to neighborhood stabilization activities related to a development of abandoned and foreclosed homes, not Acorn. His most outrageous comment goes to Sean Hannity, using instances of erratic global warming.
By the way, did you hear that for only the second time in history, no, in the United Arab Emirates, global warming?
For these stories and more.
It's our pleasure right now to have Congressman Steve Cohen from Tennessee along with us. Congressman,
nice to be with you and your listeners.
Sorry about the mess up there. I don't have any idea what's happening today. What district is it? You're from
in Tennessee, which is Memphis.
Ah, good old Memphis. Love that barbecue.
Basketball, Elvis,
yeah.
Express, St. Jude Children's Hospital. Great city.
Wonderful city and a very historic and interesting city. Congressman, the reason we asked you to join us today was to talk about the stimulus package. First of all, the debate has started. How is it going, do you think?
Well, it's going the way I expect it to go. It's going to be the Democrats carrying the the water for the American people and for jobs and for a 21st century economy, and the Republicans trying to win an election in 2012. They're the minority. They've been soundly defeated at by the electorate, and they're not accepting the election of president, especially one with this kind of popularity in an economic, but the need to go forward and the lessons of history with Herbert Hoover and Secretary of Treasury. You give them support and you try to create education and health care and help people out of work. That's what we're doing, and it's going to pass. The amendments that the Democrats support, the partisan amendment, making that kind of barren, guaranteeing transparency and guaranteeing whistleblowers protection, passed that require these funds to be spent 90 to 180 or guarantee that they're starting these projects, making sure there's the stimulus of pretty much Democrats. I think most of the Democrats vote for it, most of the Republicans vote against it.
But, when you mention most, is it not going to be 100% of the Republicans vote against it?
I don't know. You know, sometimes some of the Republicans vote right.
I've heard that, but I can't remember when.
But the last Congress, there were about five of them that sat together. Walter Jones of North Carolina and gentleman from and Gilchrist from Maryland and a couple other. They vote pretty good on the war and a few other issues. And sometimes you get somebody, and there's Chris Shays up the east, but anyway, I don't need to talk about the few Republicans that voted right. And there's an old story about if you get an automobile that they got on, the transmission's got a D and an R. And then if you want to go forward, you go and drive, and if you want to go in reverse, you put in an R. The same thing with parties. You want to go forward, you go with D, Dem or Republican.
That's certainly been my experience. I'd like to add this, Bill. I think we've all heard by now that it's some, 640, how can you, as a legislative leaders, how can you go through a document of that size and read it?
Well, A, you can't. You have staff help you with it. You read a lot of briefs on it. You go to those whip meetings where it's discussed. Possible to read such a bill in a warrant.
Oh, it would. The biggest biggest benefits of this bill, how many jobs, how soon Americans are asking right now, how soon is this going to stimulate the economy? And you already mentioned that they've moved it up, some of it from 180 to 90 days, which is one of the major gripes about the thing, as you know. When do you think we'll start to feel some relief from it, and how many jobs are we aiming for here?
Well, the plan is that we'll create 3 to 4 million jobs, and making us globally competitive and energy independent and having a long-term effect on our economy. The tax cuts will start immediately, and 95% of Americans will get a tax cut, and that'll put money in the economy quickly, and some of the spending will start immediately. 75% of it will start in the first 18 months, but it's going to take some time. And the economy is not getting better, and there are really drastic forecasts about the economy from business and from economists and from people involved, the financial structure and all these layoffs, 3,000 jobs cut in one day. Unemployment's going to go up. The country, George Bush and Dick Cheney have left us with a mess.
Well, certainly. And one of the questions I have is, it has been formulated over some time now on the minds of the Obama people for a long time, and they've been floating ideas for a long time, but in the meantime, while it has finally pretty much solidified, we had this mess dumped on us Monday about this package adequate to do what it is that needs to be done.
Well, I just have to hope it is. When you get a bill on the floor, you can propose in the Rules Committee, or if you're on the relevant committee, which in this time was Ways and Means and Appropriations, et cetera, and I'm not on either of those committees. I filed an amendment in the Rules Committee to try to make the tax cuts more progressive by making them geared toward a lower income than they have them at. I think $150,000 for a married couple, which is where it is, or $75,000 a single. People need help in all areas, but I think if you get it to people a little lower income, 50,000 singles, which is the median income for a family of four in America, or $100,000 for a couple, that's more likely the money's going to get spent, not put into savings, and get spent quicker because those people need the money more. But that didn't pass, and I was going to put that money into COPS programs to hire more more cops, and we do have $1 billion in cops to hire more cops in this country, which is jobs and protection, which we need, but also more money in the National Institute of Health. I just think policing and research are two ways to do that. But if you need to go through Rules Committee, you have to vote for a bill up or down on the floor, and you get it up or downing and less tax cuts. I'd like to see even more spending, certainly more than we've got, and less in the way of tax cuts.
We're talking to a representative of Memphis, Tennessee. Congressman, I hope you more minutes. There are the tax cuts, and there's been some negotiation over tax cut. Please explain to me why the Obama, and my list ask this question all the time. Why would they feel the need to negotiate with the Republicans on this, get anywhere with them, and knowing that they've created this a lot of this mess, tax cuts for the rich, why would we listen to whiners and people that have been losers on this notion in the first
place? Well, I don't totally understand it, Guy. These tax cuts aren't for the rich. They're for the 95% underneath. But 95% goes too high, in my opinion. And I think he could have done it even more progressive. That's why I offered my amendment. I didn't think it was going to pass, but Julian Bond is a good friend of mine. And I said something to Julian. We had lunch last week, and I said, you know, this is a president who I support. I was endorsed him in the primary. I voted for him at the convention as a delegate, a superdelegate, and I support him. And I'm going to vote for this bill, but I don't think this program is as progressive as it could be. And, you know, he said, you know, your job is to do the right thing and try to, you know. So I put my amendment forth. Didn't get anywhere, but I felt like it was necessary to voice it. I don't know why he's talking to the Republicans. It may be brilliance. Maybe it's the way Americans, polls all indicate that people want us to be more bipartisan. That's why they're upset with ratings are so low, is because they don't see us as working together. And so maybe he gave, either put the olive branch out and let them reject it, which they've certainly done. And he can't be accused of not trying to work with the Republicans. This might be a brilliant to have made the effort. I think President Obama doesn't want to work with everybody and thinks we can all come together. And I think his blue states pension, which was so beautiful, is really how he feels. But, you got to have some of those people in those red states agree with you. And they don't, Democrats and Republicans, whether you want to vote with business or vote with consumers and middle America and, environment, or whether you want to preserve our earth, or whether you want to vote for business again, he runs the Republican Party. They're not interested in the average American. They're not interested in the planet Earth. They're not interested in consumers. And there's a big difference. So I think President Obama is trying. Maybe he's just brilliant because he tried and he was rejected. Quite a few Democrats in the House are a little bit, you know, we're a little hurt, to be honest. I hate to say it, but we are. I mean, he's met with the Senate. He's met with Democrats and Republican groups in the Senate. He's met with Republicans. He hadn't met with us. And he's going to come to our retreat in a week or so. But that's fine and dandy. But he hadn't met with us.
Well,
and some of the liberals, of which I'm one, who felt like we needed more spending and we needed to do more, and would have liked to have seen, that didn't like the idea that we retreated in taking money out for low-income individuals for family planning, that we felt out because the Republicans complained about it. It was the type of thing that the House would run out there and try to make a big deal about. That was taken out. Some of the, mostly to make sure that Thomas Jefferson Memorial and others fall into the tidal basin because they're built on wood platforms being eroded by the water, and they're in danger of tidal basin, and they're going to be, you know, maintained, and that's one of our jobs is to maintain this beautiful district. And we've retreated on some areas, and we took out, not put money into the public zoos. And I've got a public zoo with EPA construction, worked in the 30s. Zoos create jobs. The construction there does. This is construction money, and that creates jobs. We took that out because Rush Limbaugh made some stink about swimming pools and zoos and aquariums. Those are engines that drive the city's economies. Aquarium in Chattanooga, zoo in Memphis, et cetera. But we've capitulated on some things I wish we wouldn't have.
I know some of my listeners have expressed a desire not to capitulate on many of those things, because what inevitably happens is they'll turn that huge right-wing noise machine, the Hannitys, the Limbaughs, they'll turn them loose on you. They'll be smiling in the photo ops, meeting with President Obama, going to the White House, attending the meetings in the Capitol building, and they've got the shiv ready to shove it in your back politically, and I just don't understand the sense of it, but you're right.
Maybe, I don't get it either. Maybe it is
brilliance. Maybe it is brilliance, and you and I just don't understand, and I hope that's the case.
Yeah, and the follow back, it came up in our caucus, and David Obie said, well, you've got to have compromise around a good man, and basically his values are my values. But, you know, since she said she'd stood up and would have supported, and and argued in favor of these. They talked about it as being sod. It wasn't sod. It was construction and necessary. But, during Clinton, they had something about midnight basketball. Good thing, get kids out there and off the streets playing basketball rather than person maybe involved in drugs. That was a good program, but Rush Limbaugh sensationalized it. It was a political error. So these folks that are around the block before, and they kind of know what's going to happen. Well, what I found in my history, and I spent 24 years in the state Senate before I came up here 2 years ago, the Republicans are going to lie about you when you run for election if you're running against a Republican. So you might as well vote for what you want to vote for, because they're going to lie about you regardless. Don't make any difference what you voted for. They'll lie about you.
Well, then Harry Truman said he promised to stop telling, or if they promised to stop lying about him, he'd promise to stop telling the truth about them. If you don't think that Rush runs the Republican Party pretty much from that studio of his, and we're going to talk about this on the program a little later today, ask Representative Phil Gingrey of Georgia if I don't know if you've heard about that little flap yesterday and today about how he went on Rush's show and begged for forgiveness, but he did.
Gingrey did?
Yes.
That's sad.
Yeah,
I mean, Limbaugh's been un-American, suggesting that he wishes President Obama to fail. That's un-American.
Yeah, absolutely. We went after him pretty hard yesterday. But, I can say that, and then Rush raised a squawk, and he called Rush Limbaugh the program and humbly apologized for disagreeing. We know who runs the show. Congressman Cohen, so much, and I thank you for what you're doing, working hard there, and you know, just about everything. And I hope you'll keep fighting a good fight, and that we get this bill the way it needs to be done, and something that we're all wanting that really bad.
Well, we do, and I'm pleased to be on your show. I have the great fortune to represent a congressman to represent a majority African-American district, a living part of Dr. King's dream. We judge people based on record, their production as a congressperson, as a political person, and not on the color of their skin. And Memphis really showed the way. Barack Obama was is a product of Dr. King's dream, too, that we've come a long way in America. And I'm proud to be here and to keep the fight ninth in Memphis and Tennessee 9 in the Democratic Liberal corner.
Well, and I do want to mention, I was at the inaugural last week, and I might mention that the mall might need a little bit of sod right now.
I'm sure it does. It put on a great show and a great venue for one of the great historical moments in our American history.
Congressman Steve Cohen from Tennessee, thank you so much for being on the program.
You're welcome, Guy. Bye-bye.
Some interesting comments from the Congress, despite the problems we had getting him on the phone. To hear that a few of the Democrats were this capitulation on some issues and compromising on some issues. Hey, listen, it's not going to work. And I hope the congressman's right. Brilliance. And that you and I just don't understand. Barack Obama pulls off something special here. If he found somehow and stopped this Limbaugh business, why, that'd be special. Let's head on over to the phone. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. I don't know what's going on with the phone. Call us back, please. 866-546-5254. Yeah, what is going on with the phones today? Are we having one of those days? Phil Gingrey, Republican from Georgia. There, those folks are calling back. Let's try this again. I don't know what kind of problems we're having here today. We'll let it ring a couple more times before we answer, just to make sure. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, it's Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, about this is a game of chess that he's playing with the. And it's, you know, trying to reach out very early on can purposely do what a conservative does, or just smack them on the wrist.
This game's going to work. So, I mean, I don't really understand.
Work with them as far as getting the employee, the economic stimulus package going through. And they're ripping it down left and right. What they do, granted, knowing that deep down it's their fault we screwed up to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the false gospel, two-front war, and the nation's bankrupt is unrealistic situation during a tax cut. And I make peanut. And, you know, it's just totally unrealistic. But, you know, he's going to reach out. He's going to, you know, do what he has to do. And then when they smack him on the wrist, he's going to bring out what I hope to them will be the nuclear option. You know, raise taxes on the rich and say, look, you didn't want to work with me this time around. I'm going to do what I have to do. And do a couple of sign-on executives, you know.
Okay, and now if I get you right here, if I'm understanding what you're saying, 3-4 months from now, after trying and trying to work with the Republicans, and they don't work with him, Mr. Obama, President Obama, got this, I love saying President Obama, he goes on TV at primetime some night and says, folks, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried to work with these Republicans, and it's they don't want to help America, they don't want to help me. That's what you think he's after? Well, if that is politically, although I don't know how they could get any lower, but politically that works, that would be a stroke of genius.
Well, we understand how he thinks. You know, I'm the West Indies, and we have a saying, give them enough rope to hang. And I think that's what, giving them enough rope to hang themselves.
Well, maybe in the meantime, they don't give anything away significant, anything really big, in order to do this. But, you know, they've shown an absolute unwillingness to work with him at all. I missed the boat. I really thought that right out of the gate there might be a bunch of them say, hey, we're going to cooperate. We're going to look like we cooperate, and we'll
no.
be.
No.
Well, I thought they might try and gain some political points that way. They just got their asses handed to them in an election, and I
began to think you're a religious man. Come on. Oh, God. That's really a joke of...
Well, I didn't think they were going to have an epiphany. I thought President Obama was going
to... These people, they are invested in maintaining the state. It's like their minds cannot...
Well, I think you're right.
Anytime, and I'm going to get it personal with John McCain, is when any time he allows to do to him in South Carolina back in 2000, a few years later, Powell rallied him on his birthday.
Yeah, that's it.
That means he's heavily invested into the status quo.
Well, I agree. I hope you're absolutely right. I hope you can come on and say, well, guy, you were naive. You had no idea. I hope that's the case. I would love to be dead wrong on this. You could hear the disappointment in the congressman's voice about being a little bit irked that he'd met more with Republicans than he has with Democrats, and given up, thrown a few chips into the pot that maybe he should not have. But we shall see. We shall see.
Because, you know, these guys are heavily invested into the status quo.
They are.
Heavily.
They are.
And they're going to fight tooth and nail and use every bit of power they have. And I think Barack in his honeymoon period, and they're not allowing him to have his, you know what? I think that hammer is going to fall within a few months.
Well, so far, the people are still having, we're willing to have the honeymoon for a while and do what he wants and have great trust in him. And approval ratings are sky high, and they can't stay that. It appears that maybe the Republicans aren't willing to give him elected of Republicans, but maybe a lot of the public is.
Well, it sucks.
Yeah.
You got to understand, a lot of these guys are busy out there buying on jets and all that. They don't know the reality.
They don't, evidently, they don't have a hair.
So long
as they have their $1.2 million office renovation and their $50 million airplane. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think a lot of them just kind of have this mentality of the fall of the Roman Empire. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Well, I certainly, it's okay for us older folks to feel that way, but I hope the younger folks don't, or we surely are headed for a fall.
Old farts anyway, so, you know.
Yeah.
Like, come 2000, they're already trying to start the 2010 campaign and hopefully recoup a few Senate and Congress seats, which I don't think is going to happen. If anything, they're probably even more so if they keep on becoming adversarial.
Yeah, and a stimulus tree starts to bear some fruit. They'll be out of power in a couple of decades, and they know it. And that's probably the desperation that we're seeing. We got news coming up. Kevin, good to hear from you. And
okay,
Marcel's call after the top of the hour, 866-546-5254.
Okay.
The James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. And I'm going to go see Ricky Skaggs and Paul Brewster and Kentucky Thunder tonight. The Naples Philharmonic. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. Got some front seats. Should be a rootin' tootin' good time. Haven't been to a bluegrass deal for a long, long time. You listen to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. I expect when we get back from the news, each and every one of you will be right where you're deal. See you later, right after the news.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. For the first time since the Labor Department began keeping track in 1976, the unemployment rate increased in every state of the Union during the month of December.
Hit states continue to be Michigan and Rhode Island. Both states in double digits in their unemployment rates. Michigan is on top at 10. Hit hard by dragging auto industry sales is likely first continued creeping up after January, with GM announcing more layoffs on Monday. Its unemployment rate nearly double since the same time last year. For 2007, the New England state had an unemployment rate of 5.2%. 2008, that rate was 10%. Eight states saw a month percentage leap of more than 1%. Forbes.com has been keeping a run of its top 500 largest companies. As of 4 p.m. on Tuesday, the month of January had seen 158,252 layoff announcements, very well above layoff announcements in December of 2008. According to 500 companies in the U.S., slashed 108,000 jobs that month. Four state employment trust funds, with 13 states saying their funds are at major risk phase.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid told the Las Vegas Sun that a vote on the Employee Free Choice Act labor law reform is likely this summer. The labor law reform is a top priority for labor and is strongly opposed by business interests. It makes it easier for workers to form unions free of employer intimidation by just signing union cards. AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says passage of the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act will make a real difference in workers' lives. The bill makes it easier for workers suffering pay discrimination to legally press their cases. Sweeney says it helps ensure fairness and equality in the workplace. The AFL-CIO is urging President Obama to sign it into law quickly. United Healthcare Workers West says the trusteeship papers were served on it by SEIU International on Tuesday. The big California healthcare workers local is in a dispute with SEIU International over reorganization. International wants to move 65,000 workers out of UHW into an... UHW leaders and the rank-and-file workers in that union say that these workers should be able to be part of another local or to remain within UHW under their own elected leadership. Finally, an economist has an idea that nearly every worker can get behind. Says shortening work weeks should be part of the economic stimulus package. Businesses stimulus tax incentives to cover the cost of providing extra paid vacation and sick leave to workers. Works aim employer labor costs would not increase, and since workers... Vacation and sick leave to workers. Works aim employer labor costs would not increase, and since workers would be working about 6%, businesses would have an incentive to hire more workers. You've been Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly.
So this was
respond.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get dropped out.
Six. Five. Four. Three. Two. One.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
This is the James Show. The Guy James Show, America's Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right, now all through. And now here's Guy James.
Oh, all right, we're back. I'm just reading something here that makes me laugh, and I'll share it with you in just a moment, maybe some of you. You know, it's hard to get ahead of the people on a radio program anymore because with the Internet and all, everybody's up to the minute on the news. So, you know, forgive us if once in a while we repeat something that you already know. I don't know if I've been so swamped since I got back from the inaugural and just swamped with work and activities that I haven't been able to keep up on the horn as much as I normally do, and I haven't been able to listen to Bob just a little bit one night as I heard him tell the story of being there, and it was just one. Nobody, Bob is so articulate and just able to story of being there, and it was just one. Nobody, Bob is so articulate and just able to just surround to bring you in and have you all warm and with if it's the kind of story, but. I'm just going to ask the question because I don't know, and I didn't ask Bob. I just want, did Bob say anything to you about Big Eddie? Did he say anything about Big Eddie? I'm just going to leave it at that. And if he did, why, then we'll discuss it right now. I'll wait for him. There we had the phone ring again, and somebody's gone. I don't know the number with, as far as the area code, I don't know. I see it made news today that this dope, this Representative Phil Gingrich of Georgia, he kind of threw some stones at Rush Limbaugh a couple of days ago about him saying that he hoped Obama would lose, or, you know, would fail. He said that. All right, now here we're getting that call again. We're going to try and do this here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy.
Yes.
Hi, it's your buddy Scott from Sweden.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
It's I who keep trying to call you, but it goes about old, and then it starts sounding weird, so I hang up.
Oh, okay. Well, good to hear from you.
No, I just wanted to mention the congressman about, you know, some of the different ideas and some of the different plans. People might be interested to know that, what's going on here.
Yes.
Well, of course, we're having, you know, let's just say, once if America loses.
Sure, sure.
So, you know, we're getting a lot of the backlash. But one of the things they're doing when it comes, I think, we're using tax breaks and other things, but they're not doing it if people just a certain amount of money, but they do. And one of the things they're thinking of, they know people should always be reckless. They know in a downturn that tradesmen, you know, carpenters, electricians, plumbers, and all this are the first not to get work. And of course, when they don't get work, that just has this multiplier effect. One of the things they'll do here is they'll use a downturn in which to tell people, okay, if you've been putting off fixing up your house, now's the time to do it, and you keep your receipts and you'll get like a tax break. And they'll do things like maybe put in more efficient water heaters or maybe energy efficient windows or things like that. So you kill several birds with one stone.
Panels
so,
included in that, or do they work there?
It can be. That's supposed to be very efficient.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine in the summer, but then you don't really need them as much in the summer as you need them in the winter. When it comes to alternative energy, wind power is beginning to pick up. My wife and I recently bought shares in a windmill and now energy to our house.
Oh.
So they, you can like buy in. They'll put up the, they'll get a bunch of people to invest in it, and then you end up like owning it like a WAP.
Oh, now, like how many people do you know? How many people would be involved in it?
I don't really know. My wife is kind of the business takeover.
Yeah,
I'm losing my English.
This would be like the old party line, 20 people on a phone line back in the old days.
I'm going to shout to them. Gita, how many people hold shares in a wind? Yeah.
I have no idea how much power one of them actually puts out. I'm certainly going to find out next week. We're going to that Green Jobs Conference.
Yeah, my wife thinks it's about, between like 50 to 100 people will get together to kind of own a windmill.
Wow. Well, then it's not a cheap investment.
Oh, no, but it's, once it's built.
Yeah.
You know, the fuel is rather cheap once it gets up there.
I have not been up close to one, and I watched a documentary the other day on TV about one. I had no idea they were as big. I guess I just...
Oh, they're huge.
That one, it was 300 feet tall, that big.
Well, yeah, there is an economy of the wing surfs. The bigger they get, the more investment up to a certain point. And the material of that is getting so advanced that it's becoming its own material science.
I just know I'd hate to be the guy that have to climb up maybe 300 feet and grease the bearings or whatever they do now and then. That's amazing, and those propellers are just monstrous. I know that until I saw that documentary.
Well, they're bolted down. It won't tip over.
Got a thing about climbing.
Yeah.
I'm a farm boy, and 100 feet tall, and you climb up there. That was more than enough for me when I was a kid. Never cared much. And, of course, other people take to that like a duck to water.
Well, the wind energy in Scandinavia is getting to be huge. Denmark is, I think, up to around 20% of all their electricity comes from wind energy now.
Wow,
because it sticks up like a little polyp up there into the North Sea, so they have these long expanses for the wind that has nothing to obstruct it until it hits land.
Oh, I see.
And coastline, so they put these big towers up there and. It's just an amazing. And the Danes, Vestas, but the big windmill company is Danish.
They'll end up power outside of their country, maybe, if they have some.
They're still trying to, they want to get as self-sufficient as they can, but they're selling wind. And the North Sea and into the Baltic, they're shallow enough that you can bed the things down into the floor of the sea. And,
oh, yeah. Wow. Now the ones you talked about in your this co-op that you're involved in, is there just one?
There are many. There are many different co-ops. This is I think ours is located up towards Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good there too. It's like the Appalachians, which is geologically related to the spine of a mountain area, like the Coal River area. The air piles up and it has to flow over the mountains and it hits the passes and gets channeled and all. There's some really good windy spaces down the Norwegian Swedish border.
I've never been there. I would like to see it. It's one to see.
I was going to offer all the horn people. Island had a some president, but there's no need for that now for a while.
For 4 years, we might need a quick trip out. Who knows? Confidence that we'll make it through okay. I really do.
Well, you guys can all live in that.
thanks for the offer. We hope we don't need it, but we'd like to come and visit. Maybe we can arrange the a tour, and you could be our tour guide, show us around over there.
Well, Tom Hartman went to Denmark last summer, so.
Yeah, Tom gets around. I had a nice chat with Tom last week. Tom's a good guy.
Well, there's no reason the horn when you guys when the ship comes in, come over and do Scandinavia and talk to people here, because there's so much to learn from the Scandinavian model that's been in, it's been around since the first big depression in the 20s and
sure.
the 30s.
Sure. It's been a long time since you've had a serious economic problem there, hasn't it?
Well, there are always strange things happening. Being a little economy that, like Sweden's is, it's kind of specialized in forest products, paper, and also a lot of iron and such, so kind of primary stuff. So if the world economy turns out and there's no demand for what we produce, it can get kind of hairy. But there's also an awful lot of small companies, privately owned companies, everything like two to a couple, several hundred people making all sorts of bizarre little things to the country. They really try to promote small business and not just retail, but production. It's kind of a protectionist sort of a mentality that, you know, the more you produce, the more you sell abroad, the more income you have coming into the country. The opposite of what is going on in the U.S.
Yes, yes.
Although there are companies that are indeed leaving for Czechoslovakia and other new members of the EU, but it's not government policy to promote that.
Yeah. Well, interesting area of the world, and I hope things continue to go along okay for you. We are still facing some pretty tough times, a whole lot worse, but it is worsening as we speak. And
they're predicting, I'm looking in the paper, and they're thinking that Sweden might lose about 100,000, they're predicting in this year.
Out of a population,
of Ohio's. That would be over the year. If all goes, that's kind of the dismal prognosis or prediction. It may be. Depends on how bad it gets. So.
Okay, 30.
People are worried.
20. At about 2.5 million here in this country, approximate there. That'd be about the same as, and that's a significant.
Yeah.
Very significant.
It is, but they created like 100,000 the year before, so it goes up and down. But at least what you're not going to see are these like benefits running out, and people's pensions here are not tied to the companies like they often are in the U.S. It's a national plan, very much like Social Security. So no matter if you switch jobs and such, your pension just follows you throughout your whole working life, and it's guaranteed.
Well, and is it on?
Well, there was this reform a few years ago, and some of it was going into the stock market and such, and people are regretting that.
Care?
The health care is wonderful. It is a single-payer health system. Everybody's in. So there's very little overhead, like 2 or 3% or something. And it's subsidized in a very nice little way that it's not. The doctors don't make an arms, companies aren't getting rich, but they're still, with your money, the taxpayers pay for the system, everybody's in the same one. So there's a real need to keep the costs down. A lot of huge outlays for insurance and profit, for the hospital and providers. The costs are about half of what a treatment, the same cost as the U.S.
Since it is there, private insurance available for somebody who wants
it? There is, but not too many people take it. There's not much reason to take it.
Okay,
it is available. There are some people, the real conservatives type, who would much rather prefer to pay more to go to a specialist private hospital than to rub noses with the socialist masses.
Well, no.
those kinds exist everywhere, and I suppose they're the ones who buy the private insurance and such. But I've needed the healthcare system for an eye operation, and it was wonderful. I had a torn retina, and I was in the next day, operated, and the whole thing out of pocket was only maybe $50.
and it's not like you don't have any experience in the health care here.
No, I was too young to need it when I was living in the States.
All right. Yeah. But hey, we sure thank you for calling Mission, and I want to tell you one thing. The people on the website know, on the chat room know this. Man, you got one. if you could all see what me not too long ago in a way of some pictures and a story, you would know those. And
should I have it on the what do you call that thing, the blog?
I don't know. Maybe I read that and I was astonished. I absolutely I thought somebody, and this is kind of a private conversation here. Now some of you wonder what the I had an adventure in Oklahoma quite a few years back. And when he sent me this story that he wrote, I all of a sudden started looking over my shoulder because I thought somebody must have been there filming it some 25 years ago or whatever it was. It was eerie. And then I got the, it was really eerie. You were spot on with that. It was a great story. So
well, I know how Ohio farm boys are.
I guess you do.
I grew up one. So what the hell?
Hey, thanks so much for calling and thanks for sharing that.
Okay, I'll see if I can get ELO to put that up on the blog so we can demystify this.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye now. Oh my. I had the TV on during the news to take a look and see if anything going on I didn't know about. And I had mentioned this to the news that I wanted to mention what I consider to be, we've had these humiliations. We had the senator from Louisiana. We've had Bill Clinton. We had what's his name from Florida, the gay congressman and what's his name from Idaho, and all these elected officials that have had public humiliation, really bad. And it's got to be bad, and they stand there and usually come back from it like and pretend it never happened. Of Georgia, and my has suffered a worse public humiliation. All of those people added together. I would not be in his shoes for any amount of money or fame or fortune or anything today. I would not trade places with Representative Phil Gingrich. I just saw him on TV the other night blathering about this and that, and he's one of the leaders of the Republican Party. And I am just amazed at what I heard from him and read about him. As you know, we had our dear friend Rush Limbaugh say something about he hoped Mr. Obama, President Obama, failed. And it was a big deal on the news. And Bill Bennett said it wasn't the right thing to say, gave Mr. Limbaugh's wrath. But evidently, not Mr. Limbaugh, that Mr. Limbaugh shouldn't have said that in this climate and all. Great, from Georgia. He said like what Mr. Limbaugh said, and thereof protest by Rush Limbaugh, and lest you think for one moment that Rush Limbaugh, the Republican Party, if you think he don't have an iron-fisted control of what goes on in the Republican Party, you're sadly mistaken. And as we went through the whole litany yesterday of having a hopeless drug addict and a man with less ethic and morals and character than anybody I know for some of the things he's done, just plain moral cowardice. Don't get me started again. To have him as the leader of your party, and he is. They can't deny that now. They can't deny it now. They can never deny it again because of Phil Gingrich. It seems he said something against Limbaugh, and that Limbaugh shouldn't have said what he said about Obama failing. And there was a storm of protest calls and emails to his office that inundated Gingrich's office from fake. And it's just pathetic. He got down on his knees and begged Rush Limbaugh for forgiveness. I cannot imagine. Cannot imagine doing what this man did. As a public, I think he's a doctor. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he got down on his knees and begged Rush Limbaugh, the man that sent his maid out to buy his drugs for him, begged him for forgiveness. It's pathetic. He spoke his mind one day, and he goes running to lick Rush Limbaugh's boots the next day. I hope everybody gets this. I hope everybody understands this. That Rush Limbaugh is feared by the Republicans in the House and in the Senate. He is feared by them. And he tells them what's what. He forms their opinions for him through his program. They are deathly afraid of Rush Limbaugh. And so he says this, and he gets excoriated by Limbaugh's fans, and Gingrich puts out a pitiful comment. It says, and let me quote it, "As long as I'm in Congress, I will continue to fight for and defend our... I have actively opposed every bailout, every paycheck, and every so-called stimulus. And on so many of these, I see eye to eye with Rush Limbaugh. Regardless of what... I never told Rush to back off and apologize for the fact that Mike upset my fellow conservatives. That was not... I am also sorry to see that my comments in defense of our Republican leadership read much harsher than they actually were intended. But I recognize it is my responsibility to clarify my own comments." Well, now that's pathetic. It's really pathetic. And if it ended right there, it would have been a sad chapter in this man's political life and a sad chapter for the Republicans. But you know, it didn't end there. Oh, no. It didn't end there at all. It appears that Mr. Gingrich decided that begging like that wasn't enough. Oh, no. So he called Rush Limbaugh's program. Yes. He called Rush Limbaugh's. Can you imagine? A union congressman calling this, oh my God, and apologizing to him in front of God knows how many million people, a ton of them, that's for sure. And I would have played you the audio, but I don't know. I thought I'd put a little more ring to it. Here is the exact conversation. The phone rings and it's Gingrich. And he says, quote, "Rush, thank you so much. I thank you for the opportunity, of course. This is not exactly the way I wanted to come on. Mainly, I want to express to you and all of your listeners regret for those comments I made yesterday to Politico. I clearly ended up putting my foot in my mouth. I regret those stupid comments." End quote. Comments. End quote. Ever so condescendingly. Well, look, I appreciate that. I'm glad you called. I just think that's maybe one of the funniest things I've ever seen in political life. absolutely one of the funniest things I've ever seen and the most disgraceful, humiliating performance of a politician, I think, in my lifetime. I would a whole hell of a lot better be like Senator Craig explaining his bathroom antics than I would be calling Rush Limbaugh and getting down on my knees to him. Oh, I'd be Senator Craig any day than I would call up Rush Limbaugh and apologize on the air for not towing the line, for towing Rush Limbaugh's line. Oh, my God. I'll bet old Rushy boy had his hand under the desk when that took on. You know what I mean? I bet he did. Sorry for that, putting that thought in your head, but that picture, I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry. It never ends. But Representative Greer, I don't know, American apology. I think we all your constituents an apology. Oh my God, it's just too good. It's just too good. I'm sorry to carry on about it, but I can't. That's funny. And speaking of stupid stuff, just being as dumb, and I mean idiotic. Iowa said yesterday, you know, you think Gingrich maybe. I mean, Gingrich's number one, but in our, and we need to start something here like they do on some of the other shows, and maybe call them, as my Uncle Bud used to call them, the morons. Maybe we could have the Moron of the Day Award, because Gingrich wins it today. There isn't any question. We hand out the gold to him, no question. But Congressman Steve King of Iowa is a close second. You know, we've had all these Republicans all of a sudden become terrified of losing these Gitmo people on America. They're going to be running rampant everywhere. I mean, there's going to be one behind every tree to hear these Republicans talking. Oh, my God, not in my state. You're not going to subject the people of my state to those terrorists. They'll be running to club memberships. I'm in our supermax prisons that nobody's ever escaped from ever. We even had one Republican talk about it. Hell, some guys got away from there. We think. We're not sure. Scared to death. Actually, personally, they're not scared. Not a bit. Fear and smear. That they don't know how to do it any other way. Any other way. Scare a hell out of people. The second prize for the morons today goes to Congressman Steve's, his objection to bringing the Gitmo detainees to some prisons in America goes like this, and let me quote him. Let's just say, this is Steve King talking, let's just say that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of 9/11, is brought to the United States to be tried in a federal court in the United States under a federal judge, and we know what some of those judges do. And on a technicality, such as, let's just say he wasn't read his Miranda rights. we would read Miranda. Okay. And he goes on to say, he's released into the streets of America. This is on a technicality, mind you. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Judge says, gee, I'm sorry, Sheikh. We're really sorry they didn't read you your Miranda rights. Hey, just the Bucks hit the streets, and God bless you, boy. Good to see you. He's going to turn them loose. Turn them loose in the country. To go ahead and finish quoting Congressman. And I quote, he is released into the streets of America, over and steps up into a U.S. embassy for asylum. For fear he can't go home because he spilled the beans on Al-Qaeda. And then another judge grants him asylum in the United States. Sheikh Mohammed is on the path to citizenship, end quote, of Iowa. And I suppose I could strap myself onto a a rocket and fly to Jupiter and find some little green men who worship a statue of George Bush, too. I guess it's possible. Oh, my God. So, my congratulations. I don't have a third prize. I'm going to let all the rest of the House of Representatives, the Republicans, be tied for third place in our Morons of the Day award. You know the old story about how Steve Garvey and the Los Angeles Dodgers had this big rivalry with the Cincinnati Reds a long time ago when Pete Rose played for the Cincinnati Reds. And Garvey and the boys sent Pete Rose a really nice leather briefcase, I believe it was. Big rivals, you know. And so the Dodgers went together and they bought this nice leather briefcase. I'm sure it was a leather briefcase. Pete Rose and said, Pete, the second best looking guy on the Cincinnati Reds team. And wrote back, gee whiz, thank you guys, who was first? And wrote back, the whole rest of the team was tied for first. And that's pretty the whole rest of the House of Representatives is for third in our Morons of the Day award. Shortage of them right now. No shortage. We're going to take a break.
Look for the union label when you are buying a coat, dress or blouse. We never somewhere our union sewing, our wages going to feed the kids and run the house. We work hard, but who's complaining? Thanks to the ILG, we're paying our way. So always look for the union label. It says we're able to make it in the USA.
For the union label, being a coat, dress or blouse, remember somewhere our unions, our wages going to kids and run the house. We work hard, playing.
When you are buying a coat, dress or blouse, remember somewhere our union sewing, our wages going to feed the kids and run the house. We work hard, but who's complaining? Thanks to the ILG, we're paying our way. So always look for the union label. It says we're able to make it in the USA.
My, oh my, that one's got a few years on it for sure, doesn't it? That song was very popular for a good number of years, wasn't it? Good number of years. I'm having one of those days where I'm having trouble with them. There we go. Thing doesn't want to pay attention. 6654655254 if you'd like to join the program today. I can't help but think of Rush, please. Rush, I have sinned. I please. Please, Rush. That was Jimmy Swagger. I same thing. Same thing. Ah, yes, that Representative Gingrich should head on down to Palm Beach to the massive Rush Limbaugh estate. And I'm talking massive, 51,000 square foot house. And he should stop at Home Depot while he's there. That'd be one of his folks for sure. and stop in and buy himself some of those black rubber knee pads that the guys that work on concrete use. He might want to buy a pair of those before he heads on over to Rush's studio, don't you think? I'm sorry, but I can't help it. That's the damnedest thing. Ah, boy. 866-546-5254. I should move on to something funny, although I don't know a lot of funny things are going on right now. I do thank Representative Gingrich and King for a bit of entertainment today. 866-546-5254. Thank you for joining us today. To bring this up, an article by Paul Craig that I read and I think bears repeating into heart by everybody. And let me just read you some of this. In fact, I might read you the. And I wish that this is a message I wish went through to our Democrats in the House and the Senate, and in any position of leadership in Washington right now. I don't think they're going to listen to us on this, but they should. And let me quote this article by Paul Craig Roberts. Quote, "The evidence is sitting on the table. There is no avoiding the fact that this was torture." Those are the words of Manfred Nowak, the UN official appointed by the Commission on Human Rights to examine cases of torture. Nowak has concluded that President Obama is legally obligated to prosecute former President George W. Bush and former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. I don't know how they leave Cheney out of this thing, but back to the story. If President Obama's bankster economic team pisses off what remains of the U.S. economy, Obama, to deflect the powers and Americans' growing hardships, might fulfill his responsibility to prosecute Bush and Rumsfeld. But for now, the interested the U.S. military succumb to illegal orders. In the December 2008 issue of Counterpunch, Alexander Cockburn, in a glorious chapter in the history of the Harvard Law School, and this is a story, in a glorious chapter in the history of the Harvard answer, two brothers, Jonathan and David law students, and Jonathan and David Lubell, L-U-B-E-L-L, and Harvard, and read the story about them. They were politically active against the Korean War. Remember, this was the McCarthy era, and the brothers were subpoenaed. And they refused to cooperate on the grounds that the subpoena was a violation of the First Amendment. And so Harvard Law School immediately began pressuring the students to cooperate with Congress. The other students ostracized them. Pressures from the dean and faculty turned into threats. Although the Lubells graduated magna cum laude, they were kept off the Harvard Law Review. Their scholarships were terminated. A majority of the Harvard Law faculty voted for their expulsion. Expulsion required a two-thirds vote. Why did Harvard Law School betray two honor students who stood up for the U.S. Constitution? Cockburn concludes that the Harvard Law faculty sacrificed constitutional principle as their own self-advancement by displeasing the government, and no doubt donors. Personal cowardice every day, says the article. Recently, we had the of Jewish scholar and Israel critic Norm Finkelstein blocked by the cowardly president of DePaul University, a man afraid to stand up for his own faculty against successfully imposed on a Catholic university the poll that no critic of Israel can gain academic tenure. Violation of self-interest causes American journalists to search shills for Israeli and U.S. government propaganda, and the U.S. Congress to endorse Israeli war crimes that the rest of the world condemns. When U.S. military officers saw that torture was a policy coming down from the top, they knew that doing the right thing would cost them their careers. They trimmed their sails. One who did not was Major General Antonio Taguba. Instead of covering up the Abu Ghraib prison torture scandal, General Taguba wrote an honest report that terminated his career. Despite legislation that protects whistleblowers, it is always the whistleblower, not the wrongdoer, who suffers. And when it finally became public that the Bush regime was committing felonies under U.S. law by using the NSA to spy on Americans, the Justice Department went after the... Nothing was done about the felonies. Yet Bush and the Justice Department continued to assert that, quote, we are a nation of laws. The regime was a lawless regime. This makes it difficult on a regime to be a lawful one. A torture inquiry would lead naturally into a war crimes. General Chaguba said that the Bush regime committed war crimes. President Obama was a war criminal by his third day in office when he ordered illegals on Pakistan that murdered 20 people, including 3 children. Well, I don't know about that. The bombing and strafing of homes and villages as forces and America's NATO puppets are also war crimes, because he himself has already violated. We don't have proof of that. For decades, the U.S. government has taken the position that Israel's territorial expansion is not constrained by any international law. The U.S. government is complicit in Israel's war crimes in Lebanon, Gaza, and the West Bank. The entire world knows that Israel is guilty of war crimes and that the U.S. government made the crimes possible by providing the weapons and diplomatic support. What Israel and the U.S. did in Lebanon and Gaza is no different than the crimes for which the Nazis were tried at Nuremberg. Israel understands this, and the Israeli government is currently preparing its defense, which will be led by Israeli Justice Minister Daniel Friedman. UN war crimes official Richard Falk has compared his massacre of Gazans to the Nazi starvations and massacre of Jews. And Amnesty International and the Red Cross have demanded Israel be even 8 Israeli human rights investigation into Israeli war crimes. And some of it I most assuredly do not. But I think it's a sad, sad when there are hundreds of truckloads of humanitarian aid on the Gaza-Egyptian border sent by the Swiss, sent by Mercy Corps, all kinds of relief agencies, some perishable food that's rotting, all kinds of trucks that carrying flour and juice and baby formula and sugar and rice, sitting in the sun rotting. Because it's not allowed in to help the people in Gaza, humanitarian aid. And what the Israelis are demanding is that all these supplies be taken from these trucks and put on Israeli trucks so that they can examine every piece of it and make sure that there are no arms and weapons. An article in the New York Times said this normally quiet commercial crossing between Egypt and Israel has been turned into a parking lot of stalled humanitarian aid. And in the city of El Arish, there are essential supplies sitting, waiting, and baking in the sun. Trucks everywhere. Medical supplies are the only... Ceasefire. Israel has allowed some humanitarian supplies into Gaza, but as the world knows, it is still desperately short of the necessities. Again, on Tuesday, after an Israeli soldier was killed on the Israeli side of the border, crossing in Egypt, hasn't been open for days. In the meantime, the article in the New York Times says truckloads of humanitarian aid are sitting in Egypt. That includes 13 generators and Amir Abdullah's trailer full of food. All of our lunch meat is going to go bad, said Mr. Abdullah, whose tractor trailer loaded with food and blankets sat in a line outside the stadium in El Arish for 24 hours without moving. I believe that that's criminal. I don't care what country's involved. I don't care what religion's involved, ethnicity. I don't care what's involved. That's criminal. To starve people, to literally imprison them in their own country, and not allow the necessary food and clothing to get in. There's been an outpouring of support for also from Europe, Venezuela, and non-governmental organizations. But nothing else is going through that point. The United Nations has hollered, relief agencies all over the world have hollered about it. But nothing is being done. And as I mentioned, as though I'm picking on a certain group of people, this is wrong. This is wrong now. This is wrong in the past. This kind of behavior is not acceptable, one group of human beings toward another. It is not acceptable to keep men, women, and children from having enough food. It is not acceptable to keep them from having proper clothing and decent housing. It's not acceptable to bomb civilians. Whole families killed. It is not acceptable. So, forget your condemnations of, oh, guy's a racist, guy's a bigot, guy's anti-Semitic, guy's anti-this, guy's anti-that. No, that's BS. Got nothing to do with any of that. There's right and there's wrong. There's right and there's wrong. The color of your skin, your religion, none of that matters when it comes to right and wrong. Doesn't matter one whit. It's a sickening situation. Well, we've talked a lot of little done about it. Had so many other things we were going to talk about today. We'll get to it soon about what some of the financial coming credit card crash, which could impact our economy way. And it does look as though it is coming. Cash for everything if you can. Cutting off credit limits, they're canceling why they're being canceled. We'll talk about that more next week. You know, Bob and I are attending the Green Jobs Conference next week. I'm looking forward to that in a big way. It should be good. I know I, for one, have a lot to learn about green jobs and about the environmental movement, to help making our country no longer dependent on foreign oil and all. We've got a long, long journey ahead of us in that regard, and we hope to learn a good deal about it next week. Of course, Bob has been very active in the coal problem, mining problem in West Virginia, and knows a good deal about this already, and I'm looking forward to learning. So we'll keep you posted on that. Journey to Washington, D.C., back to the Capitol. We were just there. In fact, we were just there. So, hey, I do that. The program is a program, and we are in a position, and we told you long ago that we're in a position of being yay or nay with programs. 866-546-5254. We think a Representative Cohen from program today. A great, great guest, and he gave us a great insight into this STEM program that's going on. So, thanks for joining us. Always great to have you with us. Another one of those days where... Here we go.